So now you're 89 years old. As we sit here talking to you, you're healthy. You drove here to the lodge, right. Will Rogers Memorial. What would you say sums up why are you able to live to be 89? What have you done special?
Oh, I guess I do everything in moderation. I've never smoked, and I've never drunk, really, a social wine now and then or a beer. When my husband was mowing the grass and got through, I would split a beer or something. But I think attitude. I've always been upbeat, and I'm always not going to worry about this because I've got to wait to worry about something big. I use that as my theme song, I think, that I'll wait till something big happens before I'm going to worry. My dad and mother were always happy people, and my grandmother, Uncle Will just loved her, and she would bring all the latest things from Kansas City. She had a Halloween party at her house every year for all the youth in Chelsea. She would wear a witch's outfit, meet them at the door, lead them up to the attic, and it was all fixed spooky with the cobwebs and everything, and she'd pass out peeled grapes and say, this is eyeballs, and she just was something else.
And she was?
Maude Rogers Lane.
She was your grandmother.
That was my grandmother.
Yeah.
And Will's sister. They all had a great sense of humor. They all had a lot of insight of people. Common sense. It was inbred, I guess.
Despite the fact that the whole world knew Will Rogers as a showman, as a great commentator in movies and all, when he would come home here to visit his family, he was
just Uncle Will. And to the girls, his sisters, they never called him anything but Willie. All of his old cowboy friends just called him Bill. They didn't ever say Will Rogers. They just said Bill. He had a lot of good old cowboy friends. In California, that's the kind of entertaining they did. Ed Boreen, the artist, Charles Russell, Remington, all of those, they would come and visit. Fred Stone was one person that he really loved like a brother. Uncle Will met him on the New York stage. Fred broke his foot in an accident flying his own airplane. He wasn't going to get to be in a play, and his daughter was in the play, Dorothy Stone. Uncle Will was sorry about that, so Uncle Will said, I'll do that. Fred, teach me what you're supposed to do in that, and I'll just go do that show. And he didn't do any of his travels and speeches and didn't take a movie contract to cover for Fred in that play. That was a big gift, I tell you.
Yeah.
And then Fred came out to the ranch, and he was getting over it and all. Fred liked to play golf, so Uncle Will had a little three-hole golf course built up toward the house, kind of. Still, you can see where it was out there. He never did like golf personally, but he'd get out there and carry a club and hit a ball around, but he wasn't a golfer. He wanted that for his friend because he was there a lot, and he wanted him to get out there and play. His friendships meant a lot to him. And the way he treated Ziegfeld, too. They never had a contract signed. It was just a handshake. Then when talkies came in, they quit doing so much Broadway, and his big things weren't going over. So he was broke.
Ziegfeld.
Mm-hmm. He and his wife, Betty, came out to the ranch, and they stayed. But when Flo was in the money, Uncle Will was gone one time, and he was sitting there in the living room, and it was dark. It was paneled. And he got to looking around, and he thought, we ought to open that south out to the patio. And Ziegfeld called and ordered a big window to be put out there. And had that installed before Uncle Will got home. Uncle Will wasn't sure he's going to like this, but he did. He loved it. So that was Flo Ziegfeld's payback one time. It's still there, and it's just wonderful because it opens the view out that way.
Mm-hmm.